What do you think? Was it Asher?
Yeah.
That's it?
So we think? And something else?
Was it Asher?
I was told by a Hashem Pressler Rabbi.
What they say? Targum and Rashi, should I make a better Targum? No. So Gemara says, I'm Sochem, tell the guys to come here. The Gemara says, I just came to ask a question and disappear. The Gemara says, I'm Sochem Daf Kufi Zayim Beis, that they said Oz Yosher and they also said Halal. Gemara. The Seder Olim, which is written by one of the Tanoim, Seder Olim says they also said, Tehillim per kuf lamed vov, which is hoyd l'shan kitov kilim chazdeh, we say Shabbos morning. They said that also. I found a rekech on Shabbos, rekech is a rishon. Rekech says that they said besides the Oziyasher and the Halal, they also said Shir Hashirim. And that's what's called Hashirim. It's Natrikan Shir Hayam.
Hashirim.
Wrong.
Or Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Tenemim, they say.
No, Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech wrote it, so the question is, how could it be they sang it? It's not a big kasha, because Lamaisa, the Gemara says, Rosa Shifcha Biyam, what even the Nevi'im didn't see. So, B'Nevu'ah, they were Machav to Shir Hashirim. But it's amazing what they said over there. Versus Rabbi, yeah, they sang Oz Yosher. What about Halo? What about Hoydu? Anyway, getting to medical emergencies. What time is it? Getting to medical emergencies. Okay, so let's break it down to Klolim. And unfortunately, most people don't know these halachas. When it comes to Lamaisa, people get all nervous. Anytime you have a suffix, if a person is in danger, you're not sure it's in danger, you're not sure this is mutter, you do it, you don't ask questions. If you afterwards find out that you weren't supposed to do this, you didn't do it wrong, because you meant l'shem shemayim to help the guy. It's like the most of 10 people called up for an ambulance, only one person, one call went through. The other 10 weren't Machal Shabbos. They meant to save the guy. Or if you're not sure, the guy says he has a very big stomach ache, and you're not sure if it's something internal or not, maybe it's a problem with blood pressure, maybe it's his heart, who knows what, especially an older person. You go and you right away call an ambulance or you take the person to the hospital. You don't ask questions. It will turn out afterwards that the guy was fine and he just had too much shunt or something like that. You didn't do anything wrong because that's what you're supposed to do. Anytime you're misopic, you go and you run. And if someone's mizaris to do this, he gets schar, even if it turns out it was nothing. On the other hand, there's someone who takes his time, he's not like a shayfach dam because every minute counts. Not only that, it says a very interesting Yishalmi, which Shabbat brings down, that in case people ask questions, the shoyl starts asking questions. Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? So he's like a shef chedom. And the nishal, the guy is being asked, the Yishalmi says, it's also gnai. Why is it gnai? Because the guy should have told all of his congregants, whether he's a Rebbe Vashul, a Rebbe Yeshiva, a Rebbe Yekoil, whatever. He should tell all his people the basic halachas, and they shouldn't be asking questions. They should right away jump and do it. So it's responsibility of everybody to see that his talmidim also know these halachas. Now, Dafka, this last week, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Shem Oilam, but it's Kedai Dafka and Parshas B'Shalach that people should be machiach other people as far as keeping Shabbos, because that's what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was held responsible that he did not tell Am Yisrael, he didn't tell them about the idea of not being machal Shabbos for the month. And even though he himself didn't do it, just the fact that he didn't point it out to them, that's already a tie on him. So he says a good time to start doing these things is Parshas B'Shalach. Because we see the Indian, the Moshe Rabbeinu was held responsible that everybody should keep Shabbos. The Archaim Kosh says, "V'shomru b'nei Yisrael Shabbos." V'shomru, you're supposed to see that other people keep Shabbos. That's part of the job. I saw a guy in my shul just after I saw this Shem Oilam. I have a cold. I told the guys my shul. My wife said I shouldn't go out because I have a cold. I asked my wife if she wants to say the shiurim. She said no. She said okay. It's nice and cold outside. Any event, the guy I saw this thing in the Shem Oilam. Sure off in the morning, the chassidish guy pulls out a comb right before davening. He just came from the mikveh, fixes his payas. I look at the guy, I thought, maybe he won't tell me anything. I will tell him. I reminded myself of what Chofetz Chaim said. So after davening, I went over to him, I told him, I saw you did something. I saw the Chofetz Chaim points out that dafka this week we should tell people you did wrong. It says, A, you know how to use a comb on Shabbos. And B, since you can't use a comb on Shabbos, the comb is mukza. So he looks at me like I fell from the moon. He says, why can't they use a kohen shabbos? The siman on the shulchan aruch, shulchan gimel. He's going to tear your hair. There's a head, by the way, a woman with a shait lost the same day. Can't use a kohen. There's a head to which the shmir shabbos proposes, if there's big spaces between the teeth of the comb, he says that could be mutter, because that's not for shulchan to rip something out. Otherwise, it's saucer. So the guy said, according to what you're saying, I told him to look it up. So he says, if it turns out that you're right, so then does that mean I can't take it home now for Shabbos? It's not an if, because the first dinner Shulchan Aruch, you'll see right away, it's not from big secrets. It's all Sefer Shulchan Aruch. You can wash your Shabbos and Chosa. Look under Masrek, come, you'll find it right away. There's no if, buts, and whens. But I told him, if it's already in your packet, you got to take it home. Because you found a $100 bill in your packet. You got to empty that. Since it's in the packet, you're not touching it with your hands. It's still Tumanat Tzad. Tumanat Tzad is Mutter. Mutter L'chadchila. So now, if you don't carry, like me, I don't carry outside where there's no Erev. I got a problem, I can't carry. If somebody does carry the Erev, as far as the Muksi, you have no problem. You can go home, now you got home, you're afraid to drop it on there. You'll throw a $100 bill over here in the Beis Medrash, you're not going to see it again.
The other week, I had my Shabbos coat, and I for some reason left $20, 20 shekels in the coat. And it was Shabbos, it was Friday night, it was Shabbos night. I didn't know if I could wear the coat or not, so I just took it up and emptied it upside down for like 5 minutes.
That's fine. That's
but
fine.
I knew that I could have technically gone out with it and it wouldn't have mattered.
No, if you know that it's there and you are in a place where you can empty it out, for instance, you're in the dormitory room over here in Yeshiva. So we did it as good. Because that's tiltum and atzad, letzer dover heter. You're doing it outside, you're not touching the dollar bill itself, you're shaking the coat. And your purpose is not because you want the muksa, you want to get rid of the muksa. That's the same heter you're allowed to take a broomstick and sweep bones and eggshells or nutshells on Shabbos. The shells are muksa, but I'm not touching them directly, it's tiltum and atzad. As a tzer dover heter, not that I collect the shells as a hobby, I just want to rid the floor of any dirt and any shells. You also that's mutter. Now, if you're outside, let's say you found that in the middle of the street, you had a $20 bill. There, you can't shake it out. So, you keep on walking until you get home. So, no problem. Anyway, let's get to Shabbos. If Shabbos, if somebody, looks at the general club, if somebody's in Sakona, or you think it might be a Sakona, you see an older person, he faints, he collapses, he can't move, he can't talk, maybe he had a stroke, maybe had a heart attack, you don't know. That's definitely a Sakona. Or somebody has a very serious cut. Can't leave a cut open. It's a cut. Whether it's the head, was even the hand, was a serious cut. Or we broke a bone. A bone that's dislocated and broken, you know, it's a sakona. Because the bone can pierce the arteries, the veins. These things are sakona. If you're not sure it's a sakona, you done it as a sakona. And since it's a sakona, you can do anything and everything we said last week. It's better to do it with a Jew, with a firm Jew, and according to the Rambam, dafka with an Adam Gadol. Let's say it's not a sakona. So we have what's called a cholish em b'sakona. Now cholish em b'sakona doesn't mean you have a running nose or you cut your finger or something like that. Cholish em b'sakona means to say he's ratuk l'mitato. That means says he has to be in bed. He either has high temperature, he can't move, he's in bed, or he has splitting toothache. So he might be walking on his feet, but he can't function. If you're lying in bed or you can't function, that's called a cholish em b'sakona. But since he can't function, he has certain attire. What can you do? You can tell a goy to do malacha for you. Can you please put on the light? You can do whatever you need for the tzarech of the chayla. If you're stuck, you can be silent on the paiskim that you can do the malacha of the raisa with a shinoi. That's a chayla she'en be'sakona, but it can't function. Again, you can do with a goy, tell a goy to do it. If that can't be done, you can be silent with shas etchak that you should do it with a shinoi. That's regarding Malacha Daraisa. You're not going to gain anything. What's going to be the head of the other Jew?
You brought outside.
Oh, for sure. That's what we're talking about. We didn't say the Chayla has to do it. I can do it. Whatever we're talking about here is not just the Chayla can do it. The guy's unconscious, but you're not going to say he can't do it. I can do it for him. I can definitely do it for him. Okay? Now, let's say you want to do Malacha Drabonon for this guy. That's a Chayla Shem Besikon, which means, again, he can't function. So Drabonon is only mutter if it's a Sakonis Aver. Sakonis Aver means he's going to lose his finger, lose his toe, whatever. If it's not a Sakonis Aver, you can't do that. So basically, you have to get a goy to do it. But another thing which is mutter is taking medicines. If a person is a Chayla Shem Besikon, well, she has a splitting headache, whether it's with temperature or without temperature. You have a splitting headache, a splitting toothache, or a guy's very much in pain, he's allowed to take medicines. That's considered less of a Drabonon than a Malacha Drabonon, because only Xera. Okay. If you're less than that, let's say a person has a running nose, cold, he cut his finger, something small, no have to do anything. You can't do anything on Shabbos. You can't take medicine on Shabbos. Infectious is just a sakona. And since it's a sakona, you like to take medicines, antibiotics, because otherwise it's a sakona, it'll spread worse.
How do you take it out of the packaging?
Derech kilkel. What kind of packaging? A box? Or a...
One of those things you pop out, there's like warrants all over the back.
You mean the plastic backing? No problem.
Just pop it in?
It's not a clip, yeah. Unless there's letters, you have to be careful. There is letters. So what you do is, you can take a knife and just cut it. Cut around it, don't cut the letters. But there's really no problem of popping out. It's not a clean, it's not reused, so it's definitely mutter to pop it out. If it has letters, take a knife and work around it, that's all. It's not a big problem.
Do you want a tea?
No.
It's like almost impossible.
Agav, can you take a tea on Shabbos? You let them. Why? What?
What do you mean? From
Rafua? Yeah.
You win or not, so you can take tea.
Anything which is Michael Bream is mutter. Okay? Michael Bream is so much healthy people take it also. So even though I specifically intend because I have a sore throat, it's 100% better to take
it. Bream means healthy?
Bream is almost healthy, yeah.
Seeing a bar for tea?
Again?
Like separate bar for tea.
What are you doing? Taking a tea break?
Yeah.
I've heard so much stupid stuff about
this. The problem is like this. You mean to say you're taking right in that fresh tea bag. Okay? So the first thing you have to worry about is Bishul. You can't take a tea bag and put that even into a cup of hot water because that's a klisheni and this was never cooked before, so it's usher. And this is very probably also Kali Bishul, it might be a deraisa. If it's a klishlishi, you can do it. That's not a problem. But even a klishli, what? Nope, klishlishi is much of anything and everything. if you can avoid do before showers, it's better yet because there isn't safer Urayim. Some safer they were machro klishlishi. But if you didn't prepare for it and you want to do klishlishi, you gotta use a klishlishi. It's not a problem. Now, as far as the boyer aspect, the problem is when you take a tea bag out, so all the water drips out and the tea sense remains in. That's the problem. So you're using a kli, i.e., the tea bag, and you're separating between the good and the bad. So what's the eitzah to avoid the problem? The eitzah is take it out with a spoon. You take it with a spoon, you take it with the water also. You avoid all problems. There is a chazanish that holds that it's not a problem even without doing the spoon. Why? Because the chazanish holds that any time you use the same kli that you always use, that's not fair. You always use a tea bag. You're not just going to separate things. That's how you do it. Let's say the tea on, you know the tea on is the kettle, they have tea in there. It's like a strainer where the water goes through that. Let's say you have orange juice, and you have one of these strainers which separates the pulp, or you're not using it on Shabbos. Some places would say, no, it's a kli miyuchad, the nisha is mutter. Because I would use the same kli, even if I use it for water, or something which has no pulp. So therefore, he's mutter. But to avoid all problems, best thing is take it out of the spoon. What do you do a bandage? A person has to make a bandage on Shabbos. So when you open it, you can tear the cellophane, derech kilkul. Again, be careful not to erase words. And as far as putting the band-aid on, there's no problem of teifer on the skin. So you can put the band sewing. Anytime you put two things together, you take a scotch tape, you put up a sign that says, Shir from the Rosh Yeshiva on telephones. You put it on the wall, that's teifer. Teifer doesn't mean that people think right away of, you know, old lady, a thread needle and a thimble, right? Teifer means anytime you stick two things together. You take two pieces of wood, you glue them together, you have a teifer. Okay? So, when you put band-aid, there's no issue of teifer on skin, on the body. See that? Put it on. Korea, if you take it off, it should be korea? No, because again, it's on the skin. There's no teifer, there's almost always no korea. The problem is when you put it on itself. Let's say I take a band-aid and wrap it around my finger. That's a problem. Because now you're sticking the upper layer of the band-aid. You're sticking it. Look at the glue as a thread needle. That's what's holding together. So when you're sticking it on itself, that is a problem. There's paper on top of paper, plastic, that's flavor. Shuv, if it's a sakona, a guy's not much infectious, something like that, and he has no brera, then it'll be mutter also. But it shouldn't be the case, because you could very easily, if you have an infection or you need a band there, it's bleeding badly, instead of going around it, go from this end to this end. Now you're okay. Because you did not put it onto itself. What can you do? You can,
You
take some cotton or something, wrap it around and put a rubber band on it. That's sticky. What? I've had these things happen. You ever have a fingernail, what's called a hangnail, it's called? It rips off a little bit, very painful. Because anytime it hits something, it really kills. You want to put a band down, it'll be very easy, nice and effective. Put it in a circle, go around your finger, but the problem is Shabbos. What's that? It's a, take a piece of tissue, right? Wrap it around your finger, rubber band. You'll be fine, nothing happened to you. You'll survive. That's all pretty, but it's very, very effective. What are the Shabbos you have medical things on Shabbos? Cream. Let's say a person needs special cream. Kid has a diaper rash or something like that. Kid with a diaper rash can make you crazy on Shabbos. Screeching, crying. So you can't use cream. You can use oil. Oil's fine, there's no. But if you use cream, that's a problem derisive, mamachic, because you're flattening it down. So it's kedai to know. It's always kedai.
That's it for normal lotion, hand lotion, and
then. Can't do that, mamachic. Nope, mamachic. However, huh? You could place it. But you have to think like this. There's two problems. There's the refuah problem, and there is the mamachic problem. The refuah problem is not a problem by a little kid, because up till 9 or 10 years old, he's considered, I forgot to say this, he has din like a chayla shem b'sakana. He's in din exactly like the guy who's explaining Heidegger's going to think. And therefore, up till 9, 10 years old, you like giving medicines, no problem. Or tell Rabban to the rice or whatever. Exactly like a chayla shem b'sakana. So as far as the refuah part, no problem. There's no problem with medicine. The bigger problem is the mamachic. Mamachic, flattening it down to the rice. So it's good to know. The Marsham has an amazing heter. He ties a machik is when you flatten something down from thick to thin. If you flatten that completely till it disappears, it's not a machik. Everybody else says that's ridiculous because in order to get to make it disappear, there's one stage where you made it from flat to thin. But the Marsham says it, Rasham Zamal Urbach Shmir Sabbath says that Bashasat Khaki be Saimach on that. So you have a person has a terrible diaper rash. I have a woman, she's going out of her mind because she's scratching, she has terrible rashes, itching over rash, she's going out of her mind. You don't do that. Take the cream, rub it in until it disappears.
You stop and let your hands go.
You're over. That's a problem. Yeah, it'll disappear. It always rubs in. Now there's another eitzah. Let's say for Shabbos, you know you have to put on a kid's diaper. You could put before Shabbos the cream on top of a diaper, and then on Shabbos just put on the diaper loosely, without pressing. So the kid's going to wiggle and it'll work its way in. That's not your problem. That's fine. Just like you're allowed to put onto a kid a diaper. There's some of these diapers when it's wet. You see suddenly bears and elephants appear on the side of the tape. You ever saw that? It's sensitive to... You have any brothers, sisters? You never saw a little kid before? No? Never saw him before? Come to one of my houses, my kids' houses. My daughter brought home Friday. She had a preemie more than 2 months early, less than the seventh month. He was less than a kilo. You know what a kilo is?
How's the baby doing?
Oh, Hashem. She came out Friday after 2 months. You know what a kilo is? You ever see sugar? Sugar comes in a kilo, right? Now imagine a kid that's less than a kilo. Can you imagine that? I saw it. I was shocked. I was there. My daughter, the mother, was afraid to look at it. She thought, who knows what it looks like? She didn't expect it. She went to the house, so she didn't feel one.
Is she normal size now?
Not normal size, but she's more 2 kilo. Looks more normal. I went to my daughter was afraid to look at it. My wife was afraid to look at it. I said, you guys have any mind? It's our kid, you know? So I went in there. The kid was less than the size of my hand. You know what that is? I'm serious.
I still don't know what that means. I've heard about this before.
Right? Less than the size of my hand. But Baruch Hashem, I saw that his hands, his feet, everything. You know, kids, when a mother, when a kid's born, the first thing I always check to see that, you know, you have 5 fingers and not 13. People always check these things, you know.
The hands and the feet are like totally
It looked to me fine. It looked like a little baby doll, little tiny fingers, you know. It's a little bit scary. But the whole kid was less than the size of my hand. And Baruch Hashem. Zach Cotton Lagoli, it's a girl, Zach Katana Lagoli, like the same by the bris. And she came home on Friday, she's already more than 2 kilo. So she's still not big, but she more than doubled herself, and she should be fine. It's a shame. Every kid is a mess, but you see one of these kids, I'm a mess. It's like, see what a little kid looks like. Taping what? Oh, they have the diapers, especially in the hospital, I think that they have tons of 50 little kids there. These are preemies. They have like one nurse to every kid over there in the intensive care the first week. Every kid has a nurse the whole day. Always rotating, there's always someone there. You think they have time to check all the time that the kid making the diaper? How much can the kid make in a diaper? Again, they don't eat anything, you know? They're just taking through a zonta, through the stomach. They don't release the kid until the kid starts sucking and eating. And that happened 2 days before they released him. It takes time. A kid who was born, he already knows how to nurse a suck. A kid that's born early preemie doesn't have those brains. It doesn't work. You have to push and wait till the kid starts doing it. And they kept on saying, everything's fine, but she's not eating, can't do anything. And then one day they study. They said next day you can take it.
What?
So they have a little tape on the diaper. It tells you if the kid made. It's like sensitive to being wet. When a kid wets in his pants, you'll see suddenly a little bear, a little elephant. It's very cute. So it's not that the bear was just born, the elephant was just born. It's the kid just made his pants. Good luck, you know? You know, I put those on before Shabbos. On Shabbos also, it's not a problem. I'm not telling the kid to make and write on it. I'm just telling you. Now the kid does something like that, it's fine. 100% mutter.
Really? I have a glass, a mug. The picture disappears when you put hot water and the picture comes out. You know what I'm talking about?
I never saw one of those.
Can I show you it right now?
I would guess, I can run a few minutes, I would guess it's something like photo-grade glasses. Photo-grade glasses, it turns like black. Ramosha says that's not called Tzeveh. Because the chemical's there the whole time. When you go in the sun, that dye, whatever, is goes in the glass. But it's there the whole time. And Michas Yitzchuk actually said it is also. Because by me going outside in the sun, it's like automatically making it turn colors. He says, Tzaveit. There's a story that goes around, the whole truth is, there's a Jew in Beit Vegan, Rav Azriel Auerbach. You heard of him? He's the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He's the son-in-law of Rav Yashiv. Just that his wife died about 2 years ago. It was a durable Yashiv. So the story goes, she was at an optometrist, and that doctor said that her eyes are sensitive. He recommends she should have photo-grade glasses. Turn dark. I used to have them until a few years ago.
You ready?
Yeah.
Was that going to take like 20 seconds? But just wait. Now we wait. Picture will come out. It's very cool. Very cool.
Now, is that coloring that picture?
See, that's just, what I don't know.
It's just going up.
Rebbe told me he wasn't sure, so I told me not to use it. No, so the picture's always there underneath. But when you put the water in, it makes the picture come out. So. Usually goes all the way up, but I don't have enough water.
So I don't think that that's making the tzeva. I think it's just like picking up a curtain, no?
And I have no idea. I mean, I'm assuming that's what it sounds like. Because you could tell when it's all black.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what's happening there. It seems to me that it's like a certain chemical is rising up. And maybe that's not being surveyed, it's just removing the color. I don't think it should be awesome. I don't know what this is called, though. I'll try to find out.
As you drink it,
you know what photo-grade glasses are? They start saying, photo-grade glasses, I used to have them. You go outside, it turns black. Okay? I don't have any more. Until about 10 years ago, I used to wear them. So, this Mechaz HaPaiskin, where she says it's mutter, because they're already there. The Mechazit says Osir. There's a Jew in Beit Vegan, Rav Azriel Auerbach. He's the son of Shlomo Zalman. He's the son-in-law of Rav Yashiv.
He has friends?
Huh?
Are you guys friends?
No. In any event, the story goes that his wife, which is Rayash's daughter, was by an optometrist, and he said that your eyes are sensitive, you should have photo-grade glasses. But he said, I understand, it's a shayla legabe Shabbos, as far as you can wear them. So she said, yeah, my father says mutter, and my father-in-law says aser. So he says, lady, this is not something you ask your father, your father. You have to ask a poysik. He wake up to his father's B'Shem Azam, his father-in-law says, but that's how the story goes. It's true, I don't know. Anyway, I gotta run. Catch my omen. Oh, that's a mistake. That's a picture of you and your friends. Oh.